It is an incredible week to celebrate. I mean, not only is it Divine Mercy Sunday, not only are we still in Easter celebrating the great reality, the great mystery of the Easter resurrection, we're still looking at a gospel where even the disciples are struggling with this idea of the resurrection. It's also a weekend of canonizations. We witnessed the canonization both of John the 23rd and John Paul II today. They're both declared saints in the city of Rome. Their time delay is about 7 hours from us, so they've already done it. But that's okay. We're well underway. It is an incredible and exciting opportunity to consider. And when I look at this gospel, we appreciate for this gospel what's truly going on here. You have these men who have walked with God, and they've seen Christ, all of them. They walked with him, they've witnessed with him, they've experienced all the same things together. Feeding of the thousands, the healing of the sick, all of these things. Jesus walking on the water, large catch of fish, all of these things. One after another, they together witness these things. And Jesus appears to them. And this is one of the things that really tells me is a strong moment. He really died. He had to have really died. Otherwise, it wouldn't be nearly as impressive or nearly as amazing for him to just show up in their midst. And it takes their breath away. And he says, "Peace be with you." And it's this exciting moment. And he speaks to them. He speaks to the forgiveness of sins, something he's done time and again to each person he encounters. He tells them their sins are forgiven. Now he confers this on to the apostles. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. He passes this on. But for some reason, Thomas isn't there. I don't know if it was his turn for the coffee run. Maybe he needed a pack of smokes. I really don't know. But for whatever reason, suddenly Thomas isn't there. And he comes back into the room, and Jesus already had it on. And they look at him and say, "Thomas, we've seen the dead guy. Jesus is risen." And Thomas goes, "Yeah, right." This is the worst practical joke to play on anyone ever. And yet Thomas is convinced that he is a victim of this terrible practical joke. He is convinced that somehow they've all just collectively decided to try and dupe him and say, no, we really saw him. He says, "No, I have to know for myself. No, I can't take your word for it. I've seen Jesus do all these other amazing things. I've witnessed all these things with you for the last 3 years. I've gone to all these places. But this time, no, I'm not there. Until I stick my finger in his wound, literally probe the wound, put my hand in his side, not on his side, in his side. That's how big the wound was. I don't believe." See, the problem is that Thomas has come face to face with this challenge. He's been there, week in and week out, sitting in a pew. I mean, at the Sea of Galilee. Always there, week in and week out, witnessing the same events, witnessing the same realities as all those people next to him. Going in and being a part of that greater mystery. But then when he is confronted himself, when he's challenged in his own faith particularly, suddenly, it's not enough. It isn't enough that all these others give witness, that all these others around him have seen God's action in their lives, have seen God giving witness to the great reality of the God who loves us so much. It's no longer enough for him. So a week later, when it's someone else's turn to get the coffee, Jesus returns again, and Thomas is with them. And what does he say? "Fine, you don't believe? Stick your hand in my side. Probe my wound. Why didn't you believe?" And you notice what Thomas doesn't do. Suddenly he doesn't go over and check. He doesn't ask for verification. Rather, he realizes what he's done this whole time, and he actually says, "My Lord and my God." It's that humbling moment when he comes face to face with his own limitation, with his own separation from God and his own inability, his unwillingness, his denial to fully embrace this great God who loves us, this great God who did all of these things. And I see that, and I wonder what that looks like in our own lives. When we go in and we practice our faith week in and week out, and we're there and we're striving to grow in all of these great mysteries of God, and we're trying to understand it more fully with everything that we can, but then that moment comes, that difficulty time in our life, that time when we really struggle, and we feel like everyone else has seen something that we're not, and they're challenging us to believe, we have a choice. We have the choice to be like Thomas and to say, nah, I won't accept it from others. I won't see it. It's not there. Or we can embrace the fact that we can see God's hand around us. That even though we're in that moment of struggle, even though we're in that moment of difficulty, even though we feel separated, it is actually God still moving around us, still influencing those around us, still bringing about that same promise, that same joy, that same light, that same peace. And we can say, yes, I do believe. You know, when I look at this, I think of dark matter. I know, it's kind of a joke. But for me, I think of dark matter. I don't know if you study science much or if you spend a lot of time reading the journals. I'm fascinated by the concept of dark matter. Because these are the same scientists who say, if I can't see it, it isn't there. Do you know what's the funny thing about dark matter? You can't see it. All you can do is see its effects, and you can see where it should be. All the signs around it point to it, but you can't actually see it directly. That's why it's called dark matter. We see light, it's dark matter. That's why they call it that, because they can't see it. They can see its effects, they can see what's around it, but not it directly. They can't touch it, they can't smell it, they can't measure it. And I have to laugh. Because we actually encounter that same challenge ourselves. Sometimes we encounter God directly. Sometimes we come face to face with the great God who loves us. Sometimes it's so immediate and imminent in our lives that we can't miss it. But other times, all we can see is his effects. We can see God acting on those around us. We can see God in his effects moving the hearts of those near to us. We can even see God's effects in our own lives and the things that are going on around us. So even though we can't see him directly, we can still see where he is because of his effect. And I think this is an incredible thing for us, because if we are to see God and we are to embrace and be more than just doubting, it's going to come in a very similar way. That we're going to see God in his effects. Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed.